David, it's lovely to have you here this morning. Okay.
Lovely to see you're just as technically minded as I am with one of these things. If you've got a microphone in the hands of two people like Nigel and myself, be warned. Anything can happen.
That's absolutely right. It is on, isn't it? Yeah. Oh, there it is. Okay, great. David, enough no more interruptions, please.
Sorry.
Okay, right. Could you just tell us something about yourself, who you are, and what you're doing at the moment?
Yes. So, David Gibb, born in 1968. I know I look very young. But I was brought up on the South Coast in a place called Worthing, Costa Geriatrica. And then sort of gradually migrated north. I went to college in London. I taught in North London. I met my wife at Theological College, London Bible College, as it was in those days. And then went to, trained at Wycliffe Hall in Oxford, where I met you in Oxford.
Yeah, right.
I was curate at St. Ebbs. You were one of my home group leaders, weren't you?
For a bit, yeah.
Yes. He didn't behave himself at all. And then after sort of 9 years or so at St. Ebbs in Oxford, we came up to St. Andrew's Leyland. So I married to Claire, who's the real reason why I was appointed vicar. I was hopeless, but they were rather impressed with my wife. So it's a bit like Caroline, really, isn't it? Where is Caroline? Where is she? Oh, over there, Caroline. Hello, Caroline. So we've been there we've been at St. Andrew's Leyland for, 11, nearly 12 years.
And I always ask this, you're a clergyman of the Church of England, of course. Now, we can't guarantee, of course, that every clergyman of the Church of England is a Christian. So I have this little test, and the test is this. When did you become a Christian? And how did you become a Christian?
Yeah. Well, I was, before I was brought up in Worthing, I was actually born in Wembley, in the London Borough of Brent, to a girl who was 17 years old. She was from a Southern Irish family. Came to work in London, and stayed with her sort of older sister. Met a Turkish guy who was over studying accountancy, and they sort of got together. And she discovered she was pregnant with me. And she told him, and he hopped it back to Istanbul. So she was left literally carrying the baby, and didn't tell her parents. I mean, her older sister knew, but very sort of austere. Catholic family that she was from, went through with the pregnancy mercifully, and then gave me up for adoption when I was 6 weeks old. And I suppose I could have gone anywhere or nowhere. By the grace of God, I ended up in a family who knew and loved the Lord Jesus. And so I can't remember a time when I didn't know that I was a sinner in need of Jesus dying on the cross for me. There were times as I grew up, I suppose, where I underlined my faith in Christ in a sort of verbal and public way, but I was very blessed with being brought up in a Christian home where it was real and it was very true. So yes, I came to faith somewhere, a bit like Timothy, learning the faith from his mother and grandmother. I learned it from my mum, and I praise God for her.
So you can't actually name a day or a moment. Okay.
Sorry about that.
Oh, no, that's okay. That's the same with me. I just sort of... Caroline sometimes doubts whether I'm a Christian.
That's how it is in covenant families, though, isn't it?
Covenant families. Thank you for that. Now, really, let's cut to the chase. You've just been doing a reordering in your church.
Not long ago.
3 years ago. So you came to St. Andrew's and then started a reordering project. How did that go? What were the difficulties? What were the frustrations? What were the joys? What were the blessings?
Well, I have to thank my predecessor. It took 17 years for our church to do the first reordering, and that was quite a big reordering. It was a horrible, dark barn of a building, very, very cold, very unwelcoming, and mercifully, two vicars really pushed the project, ran with the project, well, not ran, they walked very slowly for 17 years with the project. They did all the hard work, bless them, and I think it nearly killed both of them. That's just an encouragement to you. So they put in a false ceiling because there's a huge, way up there, all the sound would go right up, so they put in a false ceiling. They took the rood screen, there was a Victorian rood screen that had been put across the sort of chancel, the front bit. That was taken away. All the sort of front bit was flattened out. They created a welcome area at the back. They put in a loo. There hadn't been a loo in the church, so there was one loo. We've got one loo, praise God for that. A little kitchen area for serving tea and coffee. All of that was done before I came. And we, Claire and I, walked into the building for our interview. I suppose it must have been maybe 6 months after the work had been completed. And we went, wow. Because from outside, the building looked pretty austere and horrible. We walked in thinking, oh gosh, we know what most Anglican churches are like. It's going to be windy and cold and horrible. And actually, we were amazed that a church had gone to the trouble of trying to make their building as attractive and as accessible and as flexible as possible. So really, we lived off the hard work of the previous folk who'd done an awful lot of work. But we realised that pretty soon that our pews weren't terribly helpful and that we needed more flexible seating. And it took us, I suppose, 7 years before we got to the point where actually we could go ahead with the project and remove them. That was quite hard. People have a very sentimental, or some people do, have very sentimental attachment to places where, understandably, if you come to faith in Christ in that pew over there when you were a little kid, you know, then that pew over there has great significance for you. And getting rid of that pew, you know, it's difficult. Difficult to realize that these physical things don't actually matter. It's the spiritual things that God has done in us that really matters. So that was a big obstacle and quite hard to sort of get people used to the idea that we haven't always sat in pews in churches. There was a time when people stood in churches, didn't sit at all. And the Victorians brought in benches for us to sit on. And I mean, you know, that we used to sit in benches in our homes, but we've now graduated to sofas, and you know, so we can actually change our seating in the church building. But that took quite an effort, really, to persuade some people. Well, other people who've got bad backs were rejoicing at the fact that we might get rid of the pews and have more flexible seating. Yeah.
Great. Okay, we're spending. I dread to think how much we're spending a lot of money. And people sometimes say to me, well, gosh, should we spend this money now? The tensions of the Church of England, it's on the brink of schism. Who knows what's going to happen in the future? You know, it could be very difficult. I mean, we just heard of St. George's Tron in Glasgow, that evangelical congregation having to leave their building. They just spent £1 million on it, £3 million on it. The church authorities have come in and kicked them out, basically. So some people say, well, is this the right time to do it? What would you say to that?
God knows the future, doesn't he? We don't. And what a mercy we don't, because if we did, if we knew the future, it would be too hard for us to bear, I think. So we trust the Lord, always. We don't put our trust in princes. We don't put our trust in those who are able to say, look, we know the future. We trust in God every step of the way. And that means we have to live by faith, not by sight. God always wonderfully provides for his people. So we must trust the Lord. We mustn't just look at our resources and say, oh, can we afford this? Or is it the right time to spend? We'll never be able to know clearly what the way forward is. All we can do is seize the opportunities that God gives us at the moment. So at the moment we've done work on the church building. We need to still do more work on the church building and on our church hall. So we're thinking of a sort of £2 to £3 million project on our church hall. And exactly the same questions people are asking. You know, we might have to, what if we're kicked out of the Church of England and we have to leave our buildings behind? And I say, well, let's cross that bridge when it comes to it. If we have to do that, then we have to do that. And God will be faithful and will provide for us, even if we have to leave our buildings. That doesn't mean we shouldn't do the work now. We shouldn't go ahead and do it and trust the Lord. And, you know, that's what being a Christian is all about, isn't it? Putting our money where our mouth is, trusting the Lord. Actually, it's not our money, it's his. So, yeah.
Thanks very much, David. I'm not going to...
Sorry, did I keep to the script?
You did keep to the script, yeah. That was great.